Hello and welcome. I'm Dandy Zhu, and you're listening to Digital Health Forward, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of healthcare entrepreneurs, leaders, and executives who are moving the digital health industry forward. Today, I had the chance to chat with Chat Razdan, founder and CEO of Care and Wear. Care and Wear is the leading provider of innovative healthware, focused on bringing humanity into healthcare. In partnership with designers such as Oscar de la Renta, Care and Wear has designed highly functional alternatives to traditional patient gowns, PICC line covers, chest port access tops, recovery bras, and more. In 2020, Care and Wear shipped more than 15 million units, creating positive and effective healing experiences for patients and clinicians alike. Hi, Chat. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for taking time. I'm really excited to hear more about what you and the team are building at Care and Wear. It seems very exciting how much growth you guys have had, especially in this past year. And I'm interested to hear more about how you're creating more positive healing experiences for patients and clinicians alike.
We're excited to be here and truly appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
Great. So to start, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your background and your journey before Care and Wear. And then how did the idea for Care and Wear even come about? What was the inception story?
My background's pretty boring and probably the worst background for a founder in that graduated from UVA doing finance and management and majored in Spanish as well and became a strategy consultant. Sold on the fact that as a 22-year-old, I would be able to tell Fortune 500 CEOs how to run their companies and stay at Ritz's worldwide. My first project was in Rockford, Illinois, and was very fortunate to get any hotel just because of everything being sold out and how few hotels they had there. But over the years, had the opportunity to work for a number of amazing clients, traveled abroad, and after 4 years kind of realized that I knew I didn't want to be a consultant, and so went to business school. Unfortunately, I had another business school, nonetheless, business school, and kind of swore I would never move back to New York and was 100% convinced I would never do investment banking. So naturally joined Goldman Sachs doing investment banking after business school in New York. And then about 7 years ago now, which is crazy that it's already been 7 years, had loved ones diagnosed with cancer, told to wear tube socks over what's called a PICC line. And saw people wearing tube socks on their arms and just felt that there had to be something better. And so started working with nurses and doctors from Hopkins and UVA to try and redesign the tube sock. And kind of while we were doing that, took a step back and realized whenever you go to the hospital, everything has always been focused on function and not on how it looks or how it makes you feel. And really just felt that there was a need to build a brand in the healthcare space. And so have been running with Care and Wear ever since.
And for the benefit of the audience, can you just tell us what a PICC line is?
A PICC line, basically the easiest way to describe it, it's a peripherally inserted central catheter. But for those of you that were like me 7 years ago, the easiest way to describe it is basically an IV tube that sticks outside of your arm and connects to your heart for the duration of your treatment. So oftentimes you'll use it as a way to get nutrition or medication into your body over an elongated period of time instead of having to legitimately put an IV in every time. And so it's oftentimes used for cancer, for Lyme, for long-term IV antibiotics into your body.
And when you first started talking to the doctors at Hopkins and UVA about this discovery, what was their reaction like? And why do you think there hasn't been really any innovation to get out of just function in the hospital when it comes to apparel?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll never forget the day that I thought enough of the idea to share it with my mother. My mom's a retired anesthesiologist, and she happened to be listening to a Hopkins oncologist that day, probably like an hour after I told her about the idea. And all of a sudden, I got 5 phone calls in a row from my mom and even a text message. And I don't know about your mom, but mine has only recently learned how to text very well. 7 years ago was probably not her forte. And so I thought the world was ending, called her back. And nonetheless, it was the world, thankfully, was not ending. And I guess I should be grateful. It was that the oncologist that she had talked to about the idea thought that it was life altering and that I had to call him immediately. And this was his cell phone. And so ultimately got in touch with him and got to know the nursing team, his nursing team, and then UVA undergrad. And so got connected with their nursing teams. And kind of the feedback, which was very odd for me to see, was, oh my God, why has this not been made earlier? This is the most amazing thing ever. We not only want it, but we'll help you give all of our feedback repeatedly over and over. And I think why companies historically hadn't focused on it is probably the real focus for medical device companies on solely on function and not really worried about the end user experience. And so I think that's how we really thought about it differently, because for us, it wasn't just a functional component that we were trying to solve for, but also trying to solve for how you felt and how you kind of were able to go back to living your life. And that was something that was always important for me and our team as we've grown. It's something that's really core to our DNA. And it's something that I was really excited to get to play a part in.
When you started looking more into the space and understanding what existed out there, what were the other alternatives that people were hacking together or, you know, trying to make work if they weren't happy with what was given to them?
Yeah, totally. And it started by talking to the nurses about what we should do for our loved ones. And they told us to take a tube sock and cut it and put that on the arms. And so when I heard that, I was like, no, there's got to be something better. And honestly, the best solution that I could find was, I like to joke, a high-tech grandmother, but grandmothers selling product, like handmade products on Etsy. And obviously, these are really amazing grandmothers who really have leveraged technology. But at the end of the day, no one was really thinking about it as a company. And more importantly, no one was thinking about some of the aspects of a PICC line and requirements of kind of the dressing that you're placing over the PICC line. So a great example was the need to have airflow and visibility to the PICC line site to ensure that there's no infection or leakage. And then interestingly, the dressing that most people use actually requires air for it to function. And so it's not actually protecting you unless it's getting air. And so those amazing inventions that these high-tech grandmothers are making are actually potentially causing further infection, which obviously defeated the purpose. And so when we started, we really wanted to create a way and a mechanism to allow for increased breathability and visibility while still allowing you to kind of feel like a human again and not have to wear a sock on your arm.
Right. And tell us a little bit more about the early days and what the first prototype and the first product line that you launched ended up being. And then walk us through sort of how that's expanded and evolved over time.
Yeah, no, totally. So one of our biggest lessons is that we definitely did not know what we were doing when we started. We ended up going through 12 iterations of our first prototype. We had a ton of snafus. I think what I've learned is you're always going to make mistakes and just make sure that you learn from them. So a great example was we kept iterating on these PICC line covers with the nurses. We ended up getting our 12th one, which they said, this is perfect. It's ready to go. Place an order and had it go direct from factory to the hospitals. And then we're horrified to see that our original PICC line covers were black and the black color was peeling off and onto the actual bandage. And so people suddenly had kind of, when you think about like a sweater, like a woolen sweater and some strands coming off, it was similar to that. And people, for obvious reasons, were freaking out. And the solution was you just wash it twice. And we had tested them out ourselves. We had tested them out with a few patients, but that was kind of when we realized that different hospitals have different way of doing things. And there was one type of dressing that it didn't work on. And so I think looking back on it, kind of what was important was creating an organized design process and following through on that. When we started, it was just, hey, I'm a former banker and consultant. I don't know what I'm doing. So getting the right people around in the room. And those right people in the room have now kind of become our unique design process where we take a three-pronged approach to design each and every product. So first and foremost, always working with clinicians to ensure that our products are medically superior to everything else out there. And what we've learned over time is by doing this, we are actually being able to develop proprietary IP and allow us to create patents on each and every one of our products. Secondly, we also wanted to make sure we got the end users in the room. Now, each and every one of our products is designed with the actual end user in the room to make sure that the end user actually has a say. And while you may never want to wear any product that's given to you inside and outside of the hospital as it relates to healthcare, at least making it more of something that you would want to wear. And then bringing in a fashion and design background where over the years, we've been able to partner with amazing brands like Oscar de la Renta. We actually taught a class at Parsons School of Design to redesign the patient gown. We were the first ever partnership with March of Dimes, where they actually were so involved in the process that they even put their logo on it. Really taking a different approach to how we manufacture, how we scale, and how we think about what that product's going to be. And so we started with the PICC line covers as we were trying to sell those into hospitals. We kind of got feedback that ports were an even bigger issue for them. A port is basically a surgical pipe that goes in your chest. So it's used for more extreme cases than a PICC, and ended up designing polos and blouses and shirts for that. And then quickly started expanding with a number of new products. And so today we have over 9 products out on the market. We work with hospitals worldwide, and we're continuing to build out even more and exciting products for everyone in the hospital to be able to help them as much as possible.
It sounds like it's been a really fun and incredible journey. And I like the way you laid out the 3-pronged approach to design. I'm curious if there's been scenarios where clinicians want something that's very different from the end users, and or there's some sort of tension between making it fashion forward versus being able to be medically superior. Can you share or shed some light into some of those trade-offs or design decisions you've had to make?
Yeah, totally. It's a great question. What we found, I wouldn't say that it's kind of people fighting over products. It's more of, hey, this is what we need, or this is what we want. And it's marrying them together. And I think by having them in the room together and a part of the same design process, that helps kind of eliminate those issues. And I think a perfect example is our mesh window in our PICC line cover. So when we started, we basically took the idea of a sock and did not have a window for breathability and visibility. So we had a nice sleeve. It looked kind of like a running sleeve. If you ever are on the West Side Highway in New York, you'll oftentimes see me running with a very slowly, but with a running sleeve of sorts to hold my phone. And we wanted to make it like that, right? Like, we wanted you to feel like your LeBron James and his compression sleeve. And so we designed that as our first version and showed it to the nurses. And I'll never forget everyone at Hopkins being like, yeah, we would never use that. And I kind of felt like I had wasted a year of my life. And their comment was, look, we need breathability, we need visibility, and we would never allow our patients to use, let alone buy, a product that doesn't provide that. And that feedback obviously was not great to hear. We were thinking about it from the patient perspective. And then I'm from Baltimore, and so lacrosse is a big thing there. And I played baseball, question as to whether it was really that good or not, but played baseball and had a glove and was thinking about the hole in a mitt, and kind of casually said, hey, what about if we had mesh like a lacrosse stick has the pockets, that was still visible, but still allowed the end user, in this case, the PICC line patient, to feel kind of special or unique or cool. And everyone immediately said, oh my goodness, that would be awesome. Like, let's do that. And over the next 11 iterations, we continued to refine on the mesh window, how much visibility we wanted, how much breathability, how thick the mesh would be, et cetera. And that was definitely, it was a happy medium for everyone. I think the big thing that we found was that we were worried about not just the mesh part, but also how the end user would actually want to use it and what the nurses and doctors would think over time. And I think one important thing that I think drives anyone that's in a product role for Care and Wear could drive them nuts. Thankfully, our product team loves this about it, but could definitely be an alarm bell for you, is I think of product design and development similar to how Google thought about Gmail at the beginning. So if you remember, Gmail for years was still a beta version. And our philosophy as a company is that we always want to innovate. In fact, focusing on innovation is one of our core values as a company. And we are never happy with what we have. We're always looking for improvement. And so on a consumer side, we're always sending surveys to you. So apologies if you ever buy something from us that you're getting a survey, but I promise you that survey is being read and acted on. And then with our hospital partners, we're asking them for feedback as well. And so they are providing feedback to us nonstop as well. And so our mesh window over the years has actually evolved. And so now it's even more visible and has even more breathability than what we started with, just from that feedback from the clinicians, but also still making it something that the patients like and enjoy.
I see. And when it comes to the sales cycle with these hospitals, and especially for ones who are, you know, just getting familiar with this product, which is very different from probably what they've been using for a long time, what is the business case for them, or how do you articulate the value to them? Is it about reducing infections for the hospital because it's medically superior, or is there some sort of other metric that you're tracking?
Yeah, it's a great question. And that is like the secret sauce for how to sell anything into the hospital space, right? I think all bad jokes aside, kind of what we really focus on is, first of all, cost, right? Especially as, unfortunately, COVID has taken its toll on healthcare across America. And you look at the impact it's had on earnings and amazing hospital systems. I mean, Harvard's hospital system is Mass Gen Brigham's, which at a $2 billion loss in the first quarter of 2020, right? And like that kind of impact is going to have a profound impact on innovation and buying products. And so our philosophy has always been try and price products at what you're paying today or even less. And so all of our products are really priced pretty competitively. And so that's first and foremost is always going to be cost savings. To your question on outcomes, absolutely, on both clinical outcomes as well as patient experience outcomes. We've actually recently had a partner share with us on the PICLINE cover, for example, that they have seen a 90% decline in migrations. That is an insane stat. Like when you think about it.
Yeah, wow.
We honestly, when we would show how you could save millions of dollars, we would show it at a 5% decline, just thinking like, hey, you know, this is believable, but getting 90% is pretty incredible data. And our team is working with that hospital system to bring that more public. And so it's getting that kind of data. And then the last piece is patient experience, as HCAHPS scores have now, which impact reimbursement, have now started to incorporate patient experience. It's just something as simple as doing very quick and easy patient experience studies with your hospital partners to get them the data that they need that shows such an impact. So for our patient gowns, for example, we had done a study with a hospital system that saw a 1 to 2 times increase in patient satisfaction just from using our patient gowns that no longer had an exposed backside in comparison to your traditional gown that has an exposed backside in the hospital. So data is definitely really, really important and I think helpful. And then it's the last piece would be finding hospitals that are really focused on innovation. And it's amazing to see how many hospitals are truly, truly focused on innovating and thinking about what's next and taking the step ahead before something becomes mainstream. I mean, oftentimes we've had hospitals be like, please tell us we're one of the first. And so I think that that's been a part of what's driving healthcare forward. And then COVID has completely altered supply chains and altered time it takes to get into hospitals. So for example, over the past few months, we've added over 50 new hospital systems and governments, which is just a shocking number, to be honest, in a good way. And it's because we were able to help hospitals in a time of need and they trusted us, they knew us, and they wanted to work with us. And I think that that's a testament to how key decision makers are looking at healthcare in general is everyone is very excited to innovate and partner with companies that are making a difference. And that's what's really fueling Karenware and our ability to make an impact.
Yeah. And I imagine, though, that there must be some customers that are also just such huge fans and some of your biggest advocates in terms of word of mouth marketing. How are you able to, or are you able to tap into that in some way and also sell directly to customers, or have that be then feedback for hospitals? Like, how can you leverage those customers that care so much about the product?
Totally. It's a great question. The truth is that we have not done an amazing job of that. And that's nothing against our marketing team, who's amazing. That's in terms of just how many things I give to our marketing team and that our marketing team self-volunteers to do. So one role we're actually hiring for right now is our first B2B marketing manager. And we're really focused on starting to tell those stories. I mean, we've been at conferences. For example, we go to one conference where the Mayo Clinic, who's one of our customers, actually hosts people at our booth, like goes out and grabs people, has them come to our booths, tells them how amazing our products are. We have other nurses who will wear our products at conferences, driving awareness for us. We've been really fortunate to be featured on a lot of amazing podcasts like yours and a lot of press. And that's helped us drive more awareness. But yeah, I think kind of one of the things we've started to do is really build our community and connect patients and clinicians together and alike. And I think that's something that you'll see us doing even more so, and being able to tell stories both from a patient standpoint and sharing their story, but also from a clinical perspective and the clinical stories and how it's saving them time and energy and effort as well. Because I think that that's something that kind of gets overlooked in healthcare, is how little time you have as a clinician. And even if you can save them 10 or 15 minutes or 2 to 3 cases a day, that makes a profound impact on healthcare as we know it. Doing whatever we can to really highlight what all these amazing people are doing and highlight the amazing stories in our community is something that we're really focused on doing this year and over in the future as well.
It's so cool that you get to see that impact so directly on frontline, you know, nurses and doctors and patients. Because I feel like oftentimes in healthcare, you know, you're working on a product potentially that's many steps removed from that end consumer. So it must be pretty motivating to see nurses walking around conferences wearing the product and hearing these patient stories directly.
Yeah, I will never forget early on, we had two incredible patient stories. One was a collegiate runner who was worried that her running career was over when she got a PICC line. And she reached out to us and was like, hey, I really want to get a PICC line cover. And I was freaking out, right? Like, the hypothesis was that this would work. Our testing had shown it would work, but you still never know until you actually see it. I was like, can I please talk to your doctor? And we connected and we made sure that she kept checking in with her doctor, and she was able to continue her collegiate running career, which was awesome. And then when we started launching new colors, we had the opportunity to help a girl get to go to her prom. And she had wanted to wear a sleeveless dress. And we happened to have our slate cover actually matched her dress. And so she was able to wear a prom dress and go to prom and get to feel like herself and not have to worry about everyone staring at her arm. And I think stories like that is what fuels each and every one of us day in and day out. And to be able to do that, I think, is incredible. I will never pretend to say that we're doing as amazing work as those in a hospital are doing or those that are providing care. But whatever we can do to make a difference is kind of really drives us. And whatever we can do to support our community is something that we're really proud to be doing. And it's a big reason that giving back has been such an important aspect of our company as well from the get-go, where we do at least 10% of our profit goes back to nonprofits and to help those in need around the world. And it's something that is core to who we are and what we do, and is something when we're making decisions, it's how do we make as large of an impact as possible? It's not how do we make as much money as possible. And that obviously determines who's investing in you and who's partnering with you. But I think in the long run, it's providing the largest opportunity to help those in need as possible.
Thank you for sharing that incredible story. It's very inspirational to hear about these patients and also what you guys are doing to pay it forward to the communities that you're in. As we look forward to 2021 in this new year, what are you most excited about? What are some of the opportunities that you see ahead and perhaps some of the challenges that you also see?
Yeah, totally. I think from an excitement level, it's kind of nuts. Like, we have a team of 12 now. We're planning on more than doubling this year. I think it's fun to get to see what others are doing that is 9 billion times better than what I did when it was a team of one. And so I think that that's been really fun to bring in a lot of amazing all-stars and rock stars who are able to help us make a bigger difference in the world. I think from a business standpoint, we are working with lots of hospital systems and governments worldwide and being able to continue our work with them and work with even more. I actually got out of a meeting today that was in person for the first time, which is super exciting that that's starting to come back. But a hospital starting to work with us on our patient gowns, which we're really excited about. I think in terms of other opportunities, we're going to be expanding. We're working with a large hospital system on developing some really cool products for patients that we're excited to launch later this year. We have some other fun collaborations with some amazing designers that we'll be launching later this year. And I think it's just continuing to push our foot down on the gas pedal in terms of helping as many people as possible. In terms of challenges, I think COVID is still here, right? Like, it's something that is impacting each and every person. And maybe it's not a challenge necessarily to our day-to-day business, given that we've been able to help so many hospitals, but it is a challenge in terms of kind of mental well-being and how people are doing. And I mean, I was talking to a friend yesterday that hasn't left their neighborhood in 9 months. And this is someone that used to travel all the time. And I think that that's something to really be aware of and something that we're looking to do a lot more of on the community side is inspire those around us, right? And inspire each and every person. And, you know, you don't have to be a patient that's fighting cancer to necessarily be looking for inspiration. And I think that that's something that we're really focused on doing. As you think about hospitals and budget allocation, it's working with them to help them continue to innovate and show they care in unique manners. And that doesn't necessarily always mean, hey, you're going to buy all these care and wear products, but rather working with them to get them what they need through these hard times and help them continue to innovate and plan ahead so that once COVID's gone, which is looking more and more promising with the vaccines and all that, once COVID's gone, to be able to do more together and to be able to help those in need. And that's kind of what's driving us over the next year and over the next few years.
I'm very excited to follow the journey ahead. As you look back and think about your own career, do you have any pieces of advice for other young professionals or even MBA students who are thinking about going into healthcare? Would you have done anything differently?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would have done a billion things differently, but not sure if that would have resulted in my being where we are today or in our being where we are today. I think the true answer is, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to follow up with people. I know when I was in business school, I was really excited to work at Disney. And so I cold emailed the CFO of Disney and was able to get the opportunity to work there before I got the Goldman offer. And he told me to take that instead. I think to that end, even with Care and Wear, I've been connected with so many incredible people. I have been, a lot of it is just been done through cold emails or cold introductions or asking someone if they could introduce us to someone and having dumb luck, right? And I know a lot of people question like, oh, well, you must have had connections or you must have known these people. The truth is honestly, like, we didn't know that much about healthcare when we were early on. And I definitely did not know anything about selling into hospitals. And I'm the son of a doctor. So I grew up in a hospital. I was a patient quite frequently. I had an incredible talent for breaking bones. So I was in the emergency department quite frequently. Had tubes in my ears several times. And so I was a patient quite frequently. And what I found is if you have a problem, figure out how to fix it, talk to others, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because we wouldn't be where we are without the clinicians that have been around us, without the clinicians that have provided feedback and advice, and without the clinicians that tomorrow will be reaching out with more ideas or more changes or more things that they want to see. And I think that that's the best way to make an impact in healthcare is be willing to listen and be wanting to work with others and be willing to realize when what you've created is needs to change or has something that you can do better. Because I think that that's a core to being successful in healthcare. And then I think it's just like our initial patient community that never gives up. Us too, as a company, could never give up. And I think that that's super important as well, is never be willing to accept no and always be willing to find a way to help. And I think when you do good things are going to happen to you as well. And that's what we're really focused on here at Cairnware.
I love that. What a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Chet, for taking time to share your story and Cairnware's story and impact on the podcast. I wish you guys all the best.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. I am jealous of all of you of getting to be in business school right now, but there's so much good that you can do in the world. And I'm so excited to see what each and every one of you do. And hopefully a lot of you end up joining us here at Cairnware. We're always hiring. It's kind of the motto you learn as a founder.
Wonderful. Thank you.